Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for being here. I'd like to call to order the August 28, 2023 meeting of the Legislative Council at 2:03 p.m. at the Anchorage LIO office. And I ask Jessica Carey, Executive Director, to please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senator Klayman. Okay. Senator Teal.
Here.
Senator Stedman.
Here.
Senate President Stevens. Representative Edgman.
Here.
Representative Hannon.
Here.
Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Rauscher.
Here.
Representative Sadler.
Here.
Speaker Tilton.
Here.
Let's go back to Senator Klayman.
I'm here.
Vice Chair McKee.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Here.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Honored to be here.
12 members present.
Thank you. We are now at agenda item number 2, approval of the agenda. Vice Chair McCabe, do you have a motion for approval of the agenda?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
Thank you. Is there any objection? If there is no objection, then the agenda is approved. We are now at agenda item number 3, approval of minutes. Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion for approval of the minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. I move that Legislative Council approve the minutes of the April 18th, 2023 meeting as presented.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, the minutes are approved. We are now at agenda item number 4, contract approvals. Agenda item number A, ALB building contracts, janitorial contract renewal. Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Legislative Council approve renewal number 2 of the contract for janitorial services with Q1 Services, LLC, in the amount not to exceed $56,000.
Thank you. I will object for the purpose of discussion. I'd like J.C. Kestel, Procurement Officer, to speak to this item and take any questions. Thank you. Mr. Kestel, please proceed.
Madam Chair, if I might, Representative Sadler texted me, and I don't think we heard him say present. Okay, then he just wanted to verify that. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
I'm here.
Thank you, Mr. Kessler. Can you speak to this item?
Thank you, Chair Jackson. For the record, my name is J.C. Kessler, Procurement Officer with the Legislative Affairs Agency. The first action item today is the contract renewal for the Anchorage Janitorial Services. This is contract renewal number 2. With Q1 Services LLC for janitorial services at the Anchorage Legislative Office Building. It expires August 31st, 2023. This will be the second renewal option if exercised, which would take us from September 1st, 2023 through August 31st, 2024, if approved. If approved, there would also be 3 one-year renewal options remaining before a new solicitation must be issued. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kessel. Are there any questions for Mr. Kessel? Okay, seeing that, I remove my objection. If there are no additional questions, Ms. Carey, please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Klayman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Rauscher.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
Yes. Yeah.
Speaker Tilton.
Yes.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Yes.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. We are now on agenda item number 2, snow removal contract renewal. Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Legislative Council approve renewal number 2 of the contract for snow removal services at the Anchorage Legislative Office Building with Kelly Incorporated, DBA A1 Lawn and Landscaping, in an amount not to exceed $65,000.
Thank you. I will object for the purpose of discussion. Mr. Jess Kestel, can you please speak to the item and take any questions?
Thank you, Chair Gray Jackson. The next action item is for the contract renewal of Anchorage Snow Removal Services. This would be the second renewal if exercised. The agency has been satisfied with the services thus far. If renewed, this contract would operate from October 5th, 2023 through October 4th, 2024, and would leave us with 3 1-year renewal options remaining before a new solicitation has to be issued. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kestel. Any questions?
Yeah, Representative Sadler has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Sadler. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the Chair, Mr. Kessel, just curious, is this a flat rate that avails us of snow removal, no matter how bad the snow load is all year long, or is this, is there any opportunity for overages if there's lots of extra snow?
Through the Chair, Representative Sadler, this agreement is drawn up on a per instance basis. It's we get charged an hourly rate, and then we get charged for snow removal from the facility if our parking lot becomes too full where the staging area is on what I like to call the North 40. There's extra fees for trucking it out to a snow dump site that has to be taken, and then from time to time, the driveway there or various parts of it has to be de-iced, and that's another chargeable fee. So it is a item that could exceed this limit if the snow forecast or it surpasses the forecast, I should say, or the outcome forecast, passes the forecast.
Okay. And a follow-up, if I may?
Certainly, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, JP. That's helpful. So this is a maximum $65,000. So if it's a light snow year, it could be coming at $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000.
Through the Chair, Representative Sadler, yes. I believe that is the previous to this year's instance, the I think this was this past winter might have been the closest we got to that $65,000. In previous years, the old agreement, whenever there was ranged in the $40,000 to $50,000, and whatever was not used was just returned back to the budget for the facility.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Kestel? Seeing none, I remove my objection. If there are no additional questions, Ms. Geary, please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Klayman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Rauscher.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Speaker Tilton.
Yes.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Yes.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. We are now at agenda item 4B, Kodiak LIO and Office Space Lease Renewal. Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Legislative Council approve renewal number 1 of the lease extension for Kodiak Office Space in the amount of $69,979.56.
Thank you. I will object for the purpose of discussion. Mr. Kestel, please speak to the item and take any questions.
Thank you, Chair Gray Jackson. This action item is for the Kodiak office space. This is the first renewal of the lease extension, which would take us from November 1st, 2023 through October 30th. First, 2024, if approved, there would be 4 1-year renewal options remaining before a new solicitation would have to be issued, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Kessel? Vice Chair McCabe.
Thank you. Mr. Kessel, so I'm curious how many, if we actually went out and got proposals for leases or RFPs for this office building in Kodiak, and how many there were.
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, I'd have to get back to you on that. That RFP was conducted before my time as procurement officer. This facility has been leased. This is, I think this would be going on the 10th, 11th year, if renewed. The RFP was conducted, I believe, in 2011 that originally secured this lease, and this is the first renewal of an actual lease extension for this facility.
Hold on.
But I can get back to you on that.
Okay.
Certainly.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm curious. It looked to me, says a lease extension agreement, so this was one that just naturally happened, so we didn't have to go out for an RFP. Is that, I'm just a little concerned. This is so expensive for three offices or four offices.
Through the chair, Representative McCabe. Yes, this is a lease extension. So typically a lease extension is done by a fair market value analysis by a third-party broker. To obtain the market value of leases in that area of the state. And then the way the statute's written, the agency then has to obtain 10% below market value to proceed with a lease extension offer to the lessor. So when that lease extension was authorized by Ledge Council previously, which would have been 5 years ago, at that time, we obtained 10% below the market value rate of the going lease rates in the area. Now, I know as a result of recent consumer price index increases, there is a slight jump, and that's across the board with all leases that we have across the state. But the last 2 years, because of the consumer price index inflation, it has started to add to these lease costs a little bit. So. And keep that in mind, as that's how our leases are calculated with an annual adjustment.
Thank you, Mr. Kessel, and follow up if I might.
Certainly.
I'm just curious, the owner of this building, who's the lessor, if you will?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, it's Trident Seafoods Corporation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay, I'll remove my objection, and if there are no additional questions, Ms. Geary, please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Klayman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Senator Steinman. Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Rauscher.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Speaker Tilton.
Yes.
Vice Chair McCabe.
Yes.
Chair Gray Jackson.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Thank you. 12 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. We are now on at agenda item 5, committee business executive session. The council will now be going into executive session to consider two contracts for assembly building furnishings and hear a security briefing. Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move and ask unanimous consent that legislative council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B1, discussion of matters the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of a government unit, and 22B3, discussion of a matter that may, by law, be required to be confidential. Following individuals may remain in the room or online during the executive session: Jessica Geary, Emily Nauman, Ollie Kessel, J.C. Kestel, Rainey Vincent, Alex Frederick, Megan Wallace, Matt Simpson, Ernest Daigle, any legislators not on legislative council, and any staff of legislative council members.
Thank you. Are there any questions? If not, Ms. Geary, please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Klayman?
Yes.
Senator Keel?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Hannon?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Rauscher?
Yes.
Representative Sadler?
Yes.
Speaker Tilton?
Yes.
Vice Chair McCabe?
Yes.
Chair Gray Jackson?
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Let's take a brief at ease while we clear the room. Back in regular session. Ms. Geary, please call a roll to establish for the record that we still have a quorum.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senator Klayman?
Yes.
Senator Keel?
Here.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
Here.
Representative Hannon?
Here.
Representative Johnson?
Here.
Representative Rauscher?
Here.
Representative Sadler?
Here.
Speaker Tilton?
Here.
Vice Chair McCabe?
Here.
Chair Gray Jackson?
Honored to be here.
12 people on record, so we have a quorum.
Thank you. Representative, Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Legislative Council approve the award of RFP 662 Assembly Building Apartments Furnishings with the to Capital Office Systems with a not-to-exceed contract value of $734,465.
Thank you. I will object for the purpose of discussion, and I would like for Mr. Kessel to speak to this agenda item and to take any questions. But first, I'd like for Ms. Geary to please share a brief update on the Assembly Building Project in general. Please proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director of Legislative Affairs Agency. I am happy to report that the overall Assembly Building Project is on schedule. It's actually slightly ahead of schedule, and it's on budget, again, slightly under budget. So those are really good things. A few of us toured the third floor, which is fully sheetrocked, and they've begun painting it. So it was kind of neat to walk through and see what that looked like. And you can almost envision staff being in there for the session. So we're excited about that. And with that, I can answer any questions about the overall construction project.
Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you. I would just like to thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to thank the work, the hard work. You know, it's not easy picking all this furniture. It's not easy trying to figure out what's best for each unit. It's not easy trying to figure out whether or not they'll support or they won't support, or whether they'll suffice or whether they won't suffice. I would like to say thank you very much for your hard work.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Ms. Geary, I would like for you to guess on the record, what would happen if we don't approve this contract? Or do you have any other suggestions or thoughts on this whole issue?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Again, this is Jessica Geary. Well, at this particular point, it might be good to have JC just speak to the RFP, and then maybe after his brief explanation, then I can speak to what would happen if this RFP weren't awarded. Does that sound okay?
That's perfect. Thank you. Mr. Kessel?
Thank you, Senator Chair Gray Jackson. For the record, this is J.C. Kessel, Procurement Officer with the Legislative Affairs Agency. Subject matter RFP 662, Assembly Building Apartment Furnishings. The agency issued RFP 662 on August 1st, 2023 to solicit furnishings for the Assembly Building Apartments. The agency published the RFP on the state's online public notice, as well as contacted several builders throughout the state. RFP 662 closed August 22nd. There was only one proposal received that was considered responsive for the the RFP, and it was still scored by the PEC to make sure it met all the requirements of the RFP and the intent of the RFP. The PEC has recommended the award of that contract to Capital Office Systems for the furnishings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Question.
Vice Chair McKinney.
Thank you. So, Mr. Kessel, you said, caught a little bit of what you said in there. You said only one that was considered responsive. So, curious how many were received in total, responsive or non-responsive?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, there was one proposal that was received 2 hours after the deadline, so it was considered non-responsive. Procurement policy that proposals like that, when they're received after the deadline, they are not even evaluated by the proposal evaluation committee. It could lead to potential issues in court litigation for the legislature if we were.
Well, thank you. So I appreciate that. And my curiosity is still bounding here, so I'm interested. We put the proposal out August 1st, so less than 30 days ago. What was the deadline?
Someone mute their line, please. Thank you.
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, the deadline was August 22nd. It's a 21-day protest, or sorry, 21-day solicitation period that's required for our solicitation that the legislature conducts.
Thank you.
Ms. Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs Agency. So failure to award this contract to Capital Office Systems would result in us having to throw this procurement away, essentially, and go back out to bid. I also want to add that there is the possibility that we could work to negotiate with the contractor after this, after the contract's awarded. We could work with the contractor to get the either try to get the price per item down or eliminate some of these items altogether if there was something in this list that might not be considered necessary. I would also say that there is some caution with that because this bid was submitted with the idea that there were 484 items that were being purchased, so it's possible they might not honor pricing if we reduce quantities substantially. But I just wanted to put that out there. And JC, do you have anything that you think might be useful to add to what I just said?
Through the chair, Jessica, the only thing I might add is that in my experience, there's only one or two vendors in the state that are capable of a project like this. And one of them submitted a proposal for this project. So if we were to do any sort of resolicitation, I think we would see a similar outcome. That's the only thing I would like to add, except for the other scenario is that we would not likely have furnishings in time for the building up in place as well if we went through another resolicitation process.
Thank you. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Chair Gray Jackson. I am speaking in favor of this motion. Although there may still be question in people's minds of who will be sleeping in those beds, there will be 33 apartments. They will need to have beds. Policies yet to be developed about who selects which apartment, how long they'll be there. Most of our employees and electeds who migrate for legislative work are there over a span of 5 months. Not quite a full month at the beginning, not quite a full month at the end. Having those apartments ready and available for people starting in January is critical to our audience that this building is designed to serve. And although we may have questions about long-term use and who the demand will be highest for, I anticipate that over the course of the first year of rental, we'll come to understand whether we need to make changes. But I firmly believe that we need to have them outfitted. We need the apartments are ready to go, but if they're not going to be furnished, we're not going to be able to rent them to our employees, to our electeds, and I think that's the purpose behind that building being gifted to us, is to make sure that the burden on finding housing to serve in the legislature as a staff or an employee be lessened. And to that end, I think this vote today is important to take, and the purchase of furniture needs to go forward for our investment to be able to serve us as we hoped. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I call the question. Senator Klayman.
Go ahead, Senator Klayman.
I called the question.
I thought he said the same you did. I remove my objection. If there are no additional questions and the question was called, Ms. Gary, please call the roll.
Brief, please.
Okay.
All participants are muted.
What was that? Senator Klayman?
I withdraw my calling of the question.
Okay. So is there any other discussion? Vice Chair McCabe?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Ms. Geary, how many employees do we have that are, I know the 40 and 20. But how many employees does LAA have, staffers? Each office has a staffer, so it seems to me it must be 200-ish, somewhere in there.
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, it's about 250 or so.
So 250, so 33, and then you add in 60 legislators, so 310-ish people would be possibly eligible, depending on what we decide for this. So this significant, it is like less than 10% of the people that need housing. So I'm just, again, not sure if the return on investment for the whole thing is there, let alone $750,000 for furniture and just furniture is appropriate for less than 10% of our possible base of folks that are going to use this. And as I mentioned, it's $22,000 per unit, essentially, and it's just furniture. And, if you look at the return on investment for $750,000 and 4 months worth of rent that we're going to get if we limit it to 4 months, that's 15 years at the max rent. So I'm just not so sure that this is an appropriate use of the people's money, if you want to know the truth. So.
Thank you, Chair McCabe. Any other discussion? Rep. Edgman?
Yeah, tough issue. Tough issue in some respects. Those that were on the council before knew that I was not a big fan of the building to begin with. But I feel like we've got sort of both feet in the water now. And, I don't know what a second solicitation would provide unless there's a wholesale revamping of the RFP and we decide what the building is going to do for the entire year outside of the session. The question that, in a perfect world, I guess we'd have resolved at this point. But I'm going to be a yes vote, but I quite honestly, read the tea leaves as well as anybody. I don't know if we're going to get the requisite number of votes to pass this thing today. And I guess my question, Madam Chair, would be to the council whether we would table this motion for now, come back, if there's anything else that might be able to persuade those that are unable to vote for it today, or if the preference is just to vote it down and then come back with a second RFP later on. I would imagine that there's an amount of lead time involved in getting this amount of furniture into Alaska and then into the building and so forth. So time is probably an element to a second RFP process.
Thank you. Representative?
Madam Chair, Representative Sandler?
Yes, Representative Sandler.
Yeah, Dan Sandler. Thank you. I'm just doing the rough calculations. I have the same number that Representative McCabe did. And looking at the inventory list, this contract would include ottoman for stools as well as laptop tables. It would appear to me that those are a couple things that could be dropped from the list of essential furniture. If we were to reissue the RFP or just have things you cut down a little bit, there might be an opportunity for some savings. But otherwise, this is a pretty big bowl to swallow.
Thank you. JC, can you please comment regarding the RFP process and reissuing an RFP? Thank you.
Chair Senator Greg Jackson, yes, reissuing the RFP would take probably a couple weeks to prepare. Once it's reissued, we have to have it out on the streets for 21 days is the procurement procedure requirement, unless a written determination to shorten that is authorized and determined necessary. The process after that is roughly a 1 to 2 week time frame for the PEC to evaluate the proposals, and then we get the material gathered back to Lynch Council for review. One thing to keep in mind is that I believe in the proposals, And this stems from not just a proposal from Capital Office, but this came up during questions during the RFP process, is time frame for placement of the orders. Most of the vendors indicated that an order would have to be placed by mid-September in order to have items arriving in Alaska by December. So that's one thing that might hinder a new RFP process slightly, is having the items in place in time.
Thank you. Ms. Geary, in reference to, in response to Representative Sattler's comments about laptop tables, do you have any thoughts?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs Agency. I think the question would really be if we would be able to renegotiate with this vendor to reduce the scope without first awarding the contract to enter negotiations. And that's a process that I'm not super clear on. So I'll ask JC if he's able to comment on that, or perhaps I know Emily and Megan are both online as well. But the question is really, if we awarded this contract, do we have any room for negotiations, or are we stuck to what was entailed in the proposal?
Through the chair, follow up on Jessica's question. So in the RFP process, we do not typically allow for contract negotiations unless it's written into the RFP. And this particular RFP does not have contract negotiations written into it. One of the factors behind that is the proposal process could get muddied waters when it comes to contract negotiations after an award is made. If an offer that did not get the award felt like they were had a reason to protest, that's where the negotiations it was considered too risky to have in the RFP process, as opposed to this is what we asked for, this is what you proposed, and then slimming it back after the proposal came in could generate a protest possibly with this RFP, because it did not allow specifically for negotiation.
Thank you. Brief at ease. So
whoever is rushing.
All participants are muted.
There are no other comments. We'll move my objection. Ms. Geary, please call the roll.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Klayman.
Yes.
Senator Keel.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senate President Stevens?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Hannon?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Rauscher?
No.
Representative Sadler?
No.
Speaker Tilton?
No.
Vice Chair McCabe?
No.
Chair Gray Jackson?
Yes.
8 yeas, 5 nays.
Thank you. That means we move forward with the RFP. And thank you, everybody, for your comments and for the work that this committee put forward. We're now at item number B, RFQ 665, Ascending Building Apartment Window Coverings. Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Legislative Council approve the award of RFQ 665 for Assembly Building Apartment Window Shades to Don Able Building Supply Incorporated with a not-to-exceed contract value of $74,750.
I object for the purpose of discussion. I'd like Mr. Kessel, Procurement Officer, to speak to this item and take any questions. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Gray Jackson. For the record, J.C. Kessel, Human Officer of Legislative Affairs Agency. RFQ 665 was solicited to secure window shades for the Assembly Building Apartments. On August 4th, 2023, the Legislative Affairs Agency issued RFQ 665. The RFQ was published on the state's public notice website, as well as emailed to several known contractors in the state. RFQ 665 closed August 28th, and there were three bids received from Dawson Construction, Don Eagle Building Supply, and Premier Construction LLC. The RFQ evaluation was based on best total price and all work and products combined, evaluated each bid to ensure it met the minimum requirements, and the lowest bidder was determined to be Don Eagle Building Supply. Based on that information, LAA recommends the award of RFQ 665 to Don Able Building Supply, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to say that I had lines for my house just recently, though I think it's a pretty high number to get the price because I paid a pretty fair price for the blinds in our house, so I will be a yes on this because of that. I think it just sounds like a big number, but blinds are expensive and there's a lot of labor involved.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay, seeing no other comments or questions, I remove my objection. And Ms. Geary, please take the roll.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senator Klayman?
Yes.
Senator Keel?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senate President Stevens?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Hannon?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Rauscher?
Yes.
Representative Sadler?
Yes.
Speaker Tilton?
No.
Vice Chair McCabe?
Yes.
Chair Gray Jackson?
Yes.
12 yeas, 1 nay.
Thank you. We'll be moving forward with that contract award. We're now at agenda item number 6, other committee business, print shop policy discussion. This item is on the agenda at the request of the Rules Chair, Representative Craig Johnson, for discussion and consideration by Legislative Council. And I look forward to hearing Representative Johnson's suggestions and his initial thoughts and the initial thoughts of the members. And at this point, it's my intent to listen, to learn, and to work with all of you to determine whether or not to proceed with the change to the print policy at a future meeting. Representative Johnson, where is you?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Towards the end of session, we started getting a lot of print orders, and we approved those through the rules office. And a lot of them were borderline political, and some of them were. And so we worked with the people who were looking for their newsletters and their flyers, and were able to tone it down to where it was not probably great, but I felt comfortable that they weren't violating any kind of rules on political, you know, using state funds for political purpose. When we send out advertising as candidates, we have to identify where it's from. And it is my belief that the public has the right to know that if this is something printed by the print shop with state funds, that that should be identified on the piece. It's just paid for by state funds. Nothing, you don't have to go into all the rigmarole of the address and all that. But I think that clearly identifies and takes it out of the realm. You know, it makes it easier, first of all, for the rules chairman, because at least you're willing to, we're still not going to allow or support anyone who's trying to campaign using it, but it would be much easier if they knew that this is a state issue, and I think people would be a lot more likely to lean more towards informational than politicking. And it's both sides of the aisle. This is not casting stones. This is just when we go through and start approving, and then we approve color, and when we start approving it, it just became very difficult to start saying yes, no. But if we identify who's paying for it, it's the individual legislator out of their office account, then I think that is transparent to the public. And right now there's no policy, so it's kind of left up to the basically the whim of the rules chairs on both bodies. And so I'd like to see some type of action, even if it's to say, no, what we're doing is fine, some kind of guidance for me and the Senate rules chairman and any future rules chairman, so that at least they're acting in a from a policy position, not something that could be different. So that's the long and short of it. It's basically just a transparency issue. If the state's paying for it, and we do that a lot. You know, it's not paid for by state funds on some of them that clearly are. Some say paid for by state funds. So we do that in advertising that we use on a state level. I think we should carry that over and identify from whence the money's coming from when this goes out. So, and that's basically the broad show. But we spent a lot of time trying to decide, and even I think we spoke to legal a couple of times about what is this, what is, and it just, it shouldn't be that hard to get a newsletter printed. And we also want to protect our members, and we don't want anybody to get in trouble. So that's the impetus for bringing it forward, to bring it to attention and decide if there needs to be a policy or not. So, and with that, I think that's probably, my staff worked very hard on it. He was the one that was probably a bad guy a lot of times, good guy a lot of times. Shaking his head that we've pretty much covered it. So that's kind of the impetus of it, and I don't care. I mean, I do care because I want to protect the institution, so don't get me wrong.
Right.
But however this comes out, I just think there needs to be some kind of policy set forth by this body as its responsibility to give direction to future rules chairs.
Representative Hannah.
Thank you. Through the chair, if I could ask Rep. Johnson, I want to just clarify, you believe that they just that there's a disclaimer on it, so not, I mean, my newsletter always said, you don't have, and I think everybody's does, has your title and name and how to contact you, but you just like to add the words paid for by the Office of Representative Sarah Hannon.
Paid for with state funds, paid for by, I think paid for with state funds would be my choice of words.
And then would you, in addition to newsletters, anything else we're doing through the print shop, i.e. holiday cards, that stuff, is that something?
Yes, I would think so. I mean, I think if you set a policy, you don't want to say, well, this is not a newsletter, it's a Christmas letter. I think if you're going to set a policy, you set a policy that's universal, good for everyone. You start parceling out the policy, for lack of a better term, you tend to, people can work around it. We're very smart people in the legislature.
Madam Chair, I guess in my thought, as opposed to saying my office, your office, I think if we had something that just, you know, this is a public document paid for by state funds that was part of the print shop's watermarking of when they're printing stuff, that it's somehow watermarked, that this was done with state employees on the state dime. So it's the exact same font. It's on everything they produce, whether it's the directories where he, I mean, I think it's implied, you know, when you pick up a legislative directory at the information office, you're presuming that it's paid for with state funds, but it doesn't say that on there. And so if it's, you know, but it is printed at our print shop, and whether they started to just have a watermark on everything that they printed, so that it wasn't individually cited.
And Madam Chair, I'm not interested in finding out that what the policy is at this point. I would just like to see that there is a policy, and then that the verbiage can be worked out and vetted. So my interest is not the words right now, but I think there needs to be direction, and I think we need to be transparent, and in some way, some group of words identify it's paid for by the state funds.
Thank you, Representative.
Thanks. Through the chair, I'm curious if APOC has had any cut insight, they think, or seeing as how they're the ones that eventually will looking hard at something like that if it does become
Just a quick add on to Representative Johnson's comments. I talked to my staff. I was the rules chair before, and I think it does make some good sense to put some guidelines, sideboards, whatever, disclaimers or something on there, because otherwise it's just open-ended.
Thank you.
Yeah, APOC would not, this is not, hopefully we can keep this out by doing this. It never has to reach APOC. But the last thing we want is somebody's newsletter ending up at APOC saying, this is a political piece. It's not identified. It's paid for by the state. It's a violation. So I want to, my goal is to never let that happen. And so that's kind of the mission here, is to establish a policy or not and just bring it up today for information.
Thank you. Ms. Geary, do you want to make a comment?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. My only comment was, but you mentioned you weren't so concerned about the wording right now. My only comment was related to paid for with state funds. That would apply to anything that was paid for with the office allowance account. If there were some sort of watermarking to be done on print shop, my recommendation would be printed by a legislative print shop or something along those lines, just to really differentiate it.
Thank you.
And I'm not going to argue, but the office account is state funds. So, you know, that's just something. And I'll end there, and I don't want to argue, but I think there needs to be some kind of guidelines issued by this committee or not. But it should be a decision that is yes or no, not coming out of two offices in the camp.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. And I don't think it's an argument by no means. And on a personal note, I think it's a good idea. But what we're going to do right now, unless anybody else has any other comments, we're going to just follow up later and figure out our next step further. And I want to thank you very much for bringing this suggestion forward.
And that was its purpose. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Before we adjourn, do any members have any other comments? I think Representative Roucher.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I do have two items. And it's not so much understanding policy as I'd like to maybe think about changing policy in the future. It's my understanding when you are traveling either to the Capitol or back from the Capitol back home, and you have personal items in your baggage, once you get past the number of free bags that you're allotted by the airline, then you're allotted two more without filling an affidavit out. But if you were to save the capital money, and those are $100 a bag, if you were to save the capital money, put it in cargo, then all of a sudden now you have to fill out affidavits. And you may be saving the capital maybe, I don't know, $400 or $500. But now you have to fill out affidavits, and that baggage gets x-rayed. It has certain requirements that it has to have and what it can't have, just like any baggage that would go on the airplane. So it almost like, well, if you want to hide what you're doing, put it in the two extra bags on the airplane, and then if you don't, well, then put it in cargo, because you'll be able to save the capital money. But the other way, you can. So I think we need to have some sort of thing that says, it's treated the same. It can't be treated differently because I don't understand the purpose of treating it differently if the airlines treat it the same. So that's basically one of the topics that I ran into this past session was that, and I decided, well, when everybody else gets fill out an affidavit for their two bags, I'll fill out mine, and in the meantime, I just won't charge the state at all for the cargo that I sent because I don't think it's a fair way to do that. But anyway, that's item number one. I don't know if anybody wants to comment.
Ms. Gary.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, I believe what you're talking about is the Legislative Council moving and travel policy and the taxable consequences associated with moving personal goods and household effects from district to Juneau and back and forth. So anytime we're paying a third party, which would be the case regardless of if you're sending an air cargo or paying for excess baggage or putting it in a moving truck, an affidavit needs to be filled out to show whether or not any portion of that those goods that are being moved would be attributed to your family. So if you don't have your family's items in your bags, then it's not taxable. So I believe that's what you're referring to. So it's really about taxable consequences for legislators, not about wanting to know what's inside each bag.
Representative Relcher?
Through the chair, I appreciate the comment, but it's not so much as what's in the bags. Why do you not care what's in those bags when they're on the airplane, but only when they're in the cargo? That's the part I don't understand, because when you're sent in the receipts to you, it actually, we have a ledger of what was in the cargo, because they make us fill that out before we they'll ship it. And so basically you have more information in the cargo than you had allowing them to do their baggage, as much baggage as you want to pay for. I don't even know what the law is.
Thank you. Ms. Geary?
This is Jessica Geary again. I don't necessarily have a response to that because it's an airline policy and a cargo policy. If you paid for five extra bags through the airline and got reimbursed for it, you would have to fill out that same affidavit that you would have to fill out if you sent the air cargo. So if the issue is the itemized list of what's being shipped and you not wanting that to be on file in the accounting office, is that maybe the issue, if I'm understanding?
Through the chair. No, I was told you can send those two extra bags past the number of free bags, and there won't be any questions. They just pay for them, the extra $100, $200 for two bags.
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, that's that sounds like an accounting process that maybe we could take offline with the finance manager and figure out how exactly they're treating excess bags as compared to cargo. And I'd be happy to take up that conversation.
Sure. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
The second item is basically Representative Kronk. Let's take him for an example right now. I believe his district's probably about the size of Texas, okay? And then there are districts here in Anchorage, which you probably could circumnavigate in about 45 minutes. But the office account amounts are the exact same. You could probably, if you were to be a legislator in Anchorage, you could attend all your council meetings, I don't know, maybe with a 10-minute drive in a scenario like that. But Representative Kronk and many other legislators who are rural would actually spend a fortune in gas, time, car, travel, stuff, going through their office account rather quickly trying to get reimbursed for all that because their districts are so big. There are even legislators who actually fly two different sections of the road, which would cost a considerably more amount than driving across town for 10 minutes. So my concern is maybe we can start adjusting the office accounts for the amount of the obvious costs that are going to be encumbered by these huge districts that have been placed upon us by the redistricting.
Thank you, Representative Belichick. Gary, do you have any comments?
Madam Chair, I don't have any comment other than that this committee would be the appropriate place to discuss potentially raising office allowance accounts.
Thank you, Ms. Gary and Representative Belichick, and maybe we'll put that on another agenda subject. Any other comments, Vice Chair McCabe?
Thank you, Madam Speaker, or Madam Chair. Sorry, I'd just like to express my frustration with the RFP process for this furniture. This was a huge expense. We knew it was going to be an expense, and we've also had the blueprints for these rooms for 2 years at least. So, why did we wait till August 1st to put out an RFP, which put us in this time crunch where we had to make a decision to move forward? Where if we'd have voted on this back in session sometime, we would have had plenty of time to look for another proposal. To me, that's using time compression again to force an agenda that some of us might not agree with. And I think if we're going to have robust discussion and if we're going to come to some sort of bipartisan agreement on things like this, that all time necessary needs to be taken in situations like this. And there could be extenuating circumstances, I get that, but I feel like we were roped into spending $750,000 on 400 pieces or 440 pieces of furniture today, and I don't think Alaskans are going to be very proud of us for doing that.
Thank you, Vice Chair McCabe. Mr. Kessel, would you like to make any comments based on Vice Chair McCabe's comment just now? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but...
Nope. Thank you, Chair Greg Exon. Through the chair, Representative McCabe, I do understand your frustration with that process, and I will do what I can to make sure that the next RFP that we conduct is in a more timely manner and that the parties that I work with on that are informed as the best that I can so they can pass on the information to the members that they're working with.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Thank you.
Ms. Geary?
Jessica Geary again. I just wanted to make a quick comment on that. It took us a really long time to get the actual dimensions for those rooms and get information back from the design team. So it definitely wasn't for lack of trying to get this done sooner. And, you know, also JC's our RFP person, and he did have a family emergency, which kind of delayed this as well a little bit. And so, but definitely understand your frustrations, and I'm sorry that it came off that way.
Thank you. Any other comments before I make a few? Okay. I want everybody to know that my staff is going to be reaching out sometime soon to schedule another interim meeting of the Legislative Council, and we're anticipating right now a meeting during the end of November or early November, but that can change, but we'll keep you posted. And I just want to take a moment, and I've got some notes here. I hope I don't miss anybody. Just to, number one, thank all of you who are here in person for being here. And Ledge Council members who are online, thank you so much for being online and joining us. And I'd like to thank staff, in particular Ms. Geary. And Molly, I can't give your last name right now. Thank you for being here. And I'd like to thank... Thank you, Molly Kiesel. Thank you. Ms. Kiesel, thank you for being here. And I want to thank Mr. Kessel for all the work that was involved in this RFP process, because from my past experience being on Anchorage Assembly, I know how I know that it's a big job. I also want to thank the subcommittee chair, Senator Kiesel, for his work on the Assembly building and his staff. And I also want to thank the security chair, Representative Punk, and all the members on the security committee. And I hope that I didn't miss anybody. I want to thank my staff too. Jeff really does an amazing job and always helps me do a really good job, because I think that I am doing a good job, but I want to thank him for helping me do a good job in chairing these meetings. And I hope I didn't forget anybody, but if I did, thank you, everyone, for everything that you do to make these Ledge Council meetings successful. With that said, I'd like to adjourn. The meeting is adjourned at 4:58 p.m.
Recording is off. To resume recording, press star 9 again.